Okay, so the title of my teaching is Praise and Deliverance. And they're very closely related. But before we get to that part, we're going to look at the purpose of man. So take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 43. It is connected. What is our purpose? In Ecclesiastes, it talks about the whole duty of man is to keep God's commandments. But the purpose of man is in chapter 43, verse 7. It says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." So God created us for his glory. I have formed him and I have made him. And the word glory means splendor or copiousness, which I had to look that up because I didn't know what it really meant, which is yielding something abundantly. That's what the word glory means. Go down to verse 10. It says, "Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." And the word Savior in this verse, I looked this up, it means to be safe, to free or succor, defend, deliver, help, preserve, rescue, bring salvation, save, get victory. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of deliverance in those words. And then go down to verse 21. It says, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." So, the purpose of man is for God's glory, and we're witnesses to him too, and we should praise him. So we're going to look a little bit at the word glory. Just, I thought this was really neat. Turn to Exodus chapter 33, because I wanted to understand what God's glory actually meant a little bit more. And I'm going to be chewing on it for a long time, because this is just like a huge thing. So in chapter 33, okay, and we're going to start in verse 11. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." So in the next few verses, Moses is talking to God face to face, and Moses has got concerns, you know. He's like, how do I know that you're going to bestow grace on me? How do I know that, you know, the children of Israel are really going to be your people? He has all these questions. And we know when God told Moses to lead the children out of Egypt, he had a lot of questions. Moses has a lot of questions, and God answers all of them, and he's very patient with them. So at the end of all that, he says to God, God says to Moses, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And Moses says unto God, you got to love Moses. He says unto God, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." You know, that's what Moses says to God. And God replies to him in verse 19, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord," and that's Jehovah, "before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." So Moses says, show me your glory. He said, okay, I'm going to show you all my goodness. I'm going to make it pass before you. That's amazing. If I was Moses, I probably would have been flipping out, but anyway. Verse 20, God says to him, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So that's what God did. And then he made all his glory go past Moses. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. So when Moses comes down and sees the children of Israel, his face is shining. It's so radiant that they tell him to put a veil over his face because they can't even look at him. Okay, that gives you kind of an idea of God's glory. I don't, you know, like I said, it's a... And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, But if the ministration of death, written and graven in stones, it's talking about the Ten Commandments, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the countenance, could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, that's the law, much more that which remaineth is glory. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadily look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil was done away in Christ. So when Christ gave his life for us, the veil in the temple was rent. And that veil was taken away. Nevertheless, when it means the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That's us, looking in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. Are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, that's a little bit about glory. And we are to glorify God and praise Him. And we're going to start in Psalm 34. I thought that was pretty amazing. I can't imagine being Moses. And seeing that. And yet, when we all get to heaven, I can't even imagine. I just... Psalm 34. Verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that word blessed literally means to kneel, and it's by implication to bless God as an act of adoration, to feel and to express gratitude to thank, praise, and glorify. And then the word praise means laudation, a hymn of praise honoring God in worship. Exalt, extol, glorify, magnify. So, in this first verse, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And psalms are songs. They were meant to be sung. And, you know, Sam and Sean are doing a whole teaching on psalms, and they go over this about how they actually hired people who were singers, and that was their job, was to sing psalms. So, verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And the word boast is to be clear, to shine, to rave, to celebrate, bought. I like the word rave. I thought that was very cool. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And the word magnified is to make large in various senses, as in body, mind, estate, or honor. It means to exalt, to praise. And I love it when you look up these words, and they use the same word in the definition. Exalt is to be high, bring up, exalt, extol, honor, praise, glorify, and magnify. So these five words are all synonyms. I cannot say that word.
Synonyms.
I always say synonym, not cinnamon. They're different words, but they basically all mean the same thing, about praising and glorifying and magnifying God in our hearts. So, in verse 4, we start with, these are all the things that God is encouraging us to do. And then in verse 4, 2 through 10, it talks about the deliverance. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I mean, did God leave anything out here? Not too much, really. You know, he delivers us. He protects us. He takes care of us. He saves us. Psalm 105. Okay, so all of you parents are going to look at this psalm, and you're going to be singing it in your head. Every time I read it, I sing this song in my head. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. His face evermore. And flip back a couple pages to Psalm 95. Verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. It can't get any plainer than that. Isaiah 12. God does repeat himself a lot to us because we need it. We need it, you know, I mean. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. And yet, God created us for his glory. And, you know, he is our salvation. We're going to look at a record in 2 Chronicles about praise and deliverance. They're singing in it, too. It's a very awesome record. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You ready for Everybody there? This is about King Jehoshaphat. And we're going to start in verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be Hazazotamar," which is whatever that is. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven?" He's phrasing all of this in questions. "And rulest not thou over all kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us," and then he lists all these evils, "as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not." So when the children of Egypt, you know, when they were leaving, God told them, you know, who they could conquer and who they couldn't. And these guys, he said, leave them alone. So now they're coming back to bite them. Verse 11, "Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of the possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And that's the thing with praise. When you're praising God, you take your eyes off yourself and put them on God. And then the deliverance comes. Verse 13, "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." Everybody was there. "Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of whoever, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. On this guy, Jahaziel, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold," he tells them where they are. You know, that's pretty good. You know, if you were a general in an army, you know, like, wouldn't you like to know where your enemy is? You know, God tells them where they are. "Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook," and that's really a valley, "before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." So what does Jehoshaphat do? "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground." I love that. You know, that when we looked at the word bless, it means to kneel and by implication to bless God as an act of adoration. And Jehoshaphat bows his head, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." This is what he says to them. He says, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Okay, now, how many generals do you know who get a bunch of their people together or singers and put them at the front of the army and said, "Okay, start walking," and they're singing? But that's what they did. Verse 22, "And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them." Okay, so the Ammonites and Moab kill all the Seirs. "And they slay them and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped." Wiped out, gone. They didn't do anything. They just walked and sang. And they're singers. "And when Jehoshaphat," verse 25, "and when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in the gathering of the spoil. It was so much." That's abundance. "And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baracha," which actually means blessing, "for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baracha unto this day." And that's what God did for Jehoshaphat and his people. "And they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem to Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go up again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord." Looks like they were making some music. "And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about." That's pretty awesome. And he reigned for a long time after that. And it's pretty amazing. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. We're going to see another record in the New Testament where prayer and singing was involved. This record is about Silas and Paul. And they had been preaching the word, and while they were doing this, it was a woman possessed with a devil spirit who was following them around. And Paul finally cast her out. So her masters were mad because she gave them great gain by her soothsaying. So they got mad, and they complained to the magistrates, saying that Paul and Silas were causing trouble and teaching customs which weren't lawful for them to receive. So we're going to start in verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, Paul and Silas, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. What did Paul and Silas do? They prayed and they sang. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Were Paul and Silas's deliverance a witness to God, to this man? Yes, absolutely. And they said, verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he, the jailer, took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. All because Paul and Silas, they could have been sitting in there. They were beaten. They were hurting. They were in the dark. They had nothing but God. And they prayed and they sang. And God delivered. And their lives were a witness to this man and his whole family. I don't know how many people that was, but... Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. It says the Lord, but it should be to God. Okay. There's a lot of repetition in there about singing. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace. And singing is a wonderful thing. And I know from my own personal experience that, there was a time in my life where I really had to keep my mind stayed on God's word. And what I did was I sung to myself in my head. Because it was the one thing that helped me to keep my mind stayed on God's word, you know. And so I think God knew what he was doing when he tells us so much to sing. He knew that would make it easy for us, you know, to keep our hearts and minds stayed on his word. So, and we're going to close in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 1. And we're in verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Pretty much says it all. And in verse 20. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Which the word amen is the affirmation of certainty unto what? The glory of God by us. Amen. That's what I wanted to share.